Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Uglatown. Welcome to Dan Ugla Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports page and federalbaseball.com. This is Patrick Reddington from Federal Baseball. I've got Doghouse from Federal Baseball on the line. Doghouse, this one was a tough one to watch. They were down 9-1 early. I pretty much gave up at that point. Anything interesting happened the rest of the way?
No, I stopped watching too. I figured they just must have lost like 8 or 10-1, so we can just end this early and go home.
Yeah, it is late. We can go back to the ninth at least, though. Jason Grilli on.
Holy
for the
cow, what a game.
12-10 Braves at that point. Jose Lobatone keeps hope alive with a one-out single. Danny Espinosa, the most patient player of all time, walks to put two on in front of Dan Ugla. Dan, period. Ugla, period. Three-run home run. 13-12 Nationals at that point. Best part of it all, the Atlanta Braves paid him to do it. 13-12 Nationals win, and Ugla's three-run home run in the ninth puts them up after they're trailing the whole game. A horrible start by A.J. Cole, but Dan Ugla makes them all forget it, gets chocolate sauce in the end.
13 runs for the $13-plus million that the Braves have paid Dan Ugla this year. I know it's petty and small, but I don't care.
Yes, the Nationals are 8-13 after the win, but who cares? Dan Ugla beat the Braves.
Dan freaking Ugla. He ate his finish tonight, boy.
Gets down 0-2 to Jason Grilli. Absolutely yanks an 0-2 fastball. Why they gave him that pitch, I have no idea. They challenged him, and he stepped up to the challenge, hit one out to left field there. One of the more unlikely wins you're ever likely to see in a baseball game.
Yeah, combining both a Danny Espinosa walk, a Lobatone and Stan home runs, and then just a complete mistake to Dan Ugla there. Because for all the problems that he's had, one thing he can do is turn on pitches inside. Why did you throw him a fastball inside? I mean, keep doing it, but why? Oh, my God. He just clobbered that ball. That was 20 rows back in the left field bleachers. He hit the heck out of that, and that was very satisfying to see.
They start this series with the Braves fans in Turner Field booing him lustily. You know, when he steps up to the plate, he pays them back tonight, 3-for-5 night, 5 RBIs, 2 runs scored, Denard Span, 5-for-6. Jose Lobatone, 3-for-4, 3 runs scored, 3 RBIs. You just, I know Matt Williams is going to say it in the postgame, but you got to love the fact that this team didn't quit in this one. A.J. Cole struggles on the mound, gives up 9 runs in the first 2 innings. They somehow come back and win this one 13-12.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to seeing what A.J. Cole is going to do with this start. And so far it was trying to out-fister where he's choosing as his example. Bad Fister of this year, where everything is left up and your sinker doesn't sink, and he just got tattooed all over the place. He only gave up one walk, so I guess there's that, but it was like 9-10 hits in 2 innings, and he made an error. He made an error that ended up costing 5 runs. Oh, my gosh. This was not an auspicious debut by any measure, but somehow the team picked him up. I mean, he left the game. It was what, 9-1 when he came out, 9-2, something like that.
Yeah, 9-1 after two.
The Nats really came back and picked him up, and you know, good for him. So he'll have the memory of what a horrific outing this was. But at least he doesn't have a loss, because you know, pitcher wins and losses are the ultimate measure of pitcher skill.
Yeah, A.J. Cole, we're talking about end of the year last year, 7-0 with a 3.34 ERA, 4.48 FIP, and 11 starts at AAA. Started there again this year, but they called him up with Max Scherzer sidelined with the thumb issue, which he apparently is over and will return to the mound into rotation. So this will be a one stop for Cole, but 2010 fourth round pick called up to make his debut tonight, refuses to bunt early in the game, hit into a double play, but as far as I'm concerned, that's good in my book. But 92-93 with a fastball, struggled to get his off speed stuff or a curveball for strikes, and really struggled early in that game. Not exactly the debut you wanted to see from Cole here, but like you said, the Nationals came back and sort of picked him up at least.
Yeah, I'm not sure Scherzer is going to be 100% on his thumb. I was watching when he was spraying chocolate sauce on Ugla after the game there, and it looked like he wasn't getting a lot of velocity on the stream of Hershey syrup. So we're going to have to keep an eye on him before his next start there. Cole, yeah, he showed us some flashes, but still inconsistent. I don't know if it was nerves. I can imagine it was. You know, as Bob and FP took great pains to point out how he's being called up for his first major league start in the middle of a big slump. Please save us and keep us from getting swept, kid. No pressure. Here's the ball. By the way, if we mentioned how Freddie Freeman is like 12 for 10 against the Nats, you know, fair pitch to him a bunch of times.
Unbelievable. 4 for 6 on the night. 3 runs scored for Freddie Freeman. A.J. Pruszynski having another renaissance. 4 for 4 with a run scored. 4 RBIs tonight. They really put together some nice offense for the Braves, but Tulio Teheran struggled on the mound. 3-2, 3.06 ERA, 2.74, 3.40, 3.95 line against in 50 innings pitch for the Nats before tonight. 4.64 ERA, 5.80 FIP coming into the game, and 21 in the third innings pitched. Out after 5 2/3, 10 hits, 7 runs. I think just 3 earned runs, though. The Braves were kind of sloppy on the defensive end, too, but Julio Teheran off to a tough start this year. He got a big lead early and couldn't hold it. The Nationals made them pay for a rough start by the right-hander.
Yeah, this was, for all that I'm glad the Nats managed to win at the end, this was not an example of aesthetically appealing baseball by any means. And Julio Teheran, who is a fine young pitcher, for some reason the Nats always seem to do well with him or just run into him on when he's having a messy start, an off day, and tacked to like an 8-run lead here early. He started nibbling. I really don't get what he was doing. You got runs, go right at him, make people put it into play. And he was getting behind hitters, getting into bad spots. And it just didn't make sense to me. And, you know, I certainly remember, unlike FP, a lot of Nats baseball from before 2011. So I know from pitchers nibbling and getting into trouble. And that's what happened to Teheran tonight. And I'm glad the Nats were able to take advantage of it, because so often it seems like they let pitchers off the hook and they stayed in the game for the whole game today, getting back, you know, a run or two at a time and then runs in bunches. And then all of a sudden they're in the lead at the end by the most unlikely of circumstances. Well done.
Yeah, the comeback really, I think, starts in the fifth inning. Nationals down 10-2 at that point, but Gennard's fan doubles to start the inning, takes third on a grounder, error by Alberto Colaspo on an Ian Desmond grounder to third. Jason Worth sack fly, knocks fan in, 10-3 at that point. One out later, Ryan Zimmerman singles to put 2 on in front of Jose Lobaton. Lobatron comes up big, 3-run blast at that point. All of a sudden, it's a 10-6 game, and the idea of a comeback doesn't seem too far-fetched at that point.
Yeah, I'm going to take credit for that, because when I was in California this weekend, I went to this hipster bar with a bunch of retro video games in it with a buddy of mine, and I blew a whole bunch of quarters on Robotron 2084, and I got crushed at it. So I feel like my bad Robotron luck made Lobatron even more powerful in his quest to destroy all humans and baseballs, which he did to great effect this evening.
Just as unlikely, maybe, as a Dan Ugla home run late in the game. 2 outs in the sixth inning. Gennard Spann yanks an 0-1 pitch out to right field. 10-7 at that point. That was the end for Julio Teheran there. You're giving up home runs to Jose Lobaton and Gennard Spann in back-to-back innings. They're not going to give you too much of a leash there. 10-7 at that point. And really big night from Gennard Spann here. If he wasn't back after the last couple games when he finally returned from the DL, big night here. 5 for 6, as we mentioned. 4 runs scored for the Nats leadoff man.
Yeah, Michael A. Who? I've already forgotten that guy. I am astonished at how quickly Spann has come back and shown us late season Spann from last year. He is on a tear. He's not just hitting into a bunch of 4-3s. He's making solid contact, getting extra bases, using his speed, hitting them over the wall. Good golly! I mean, combining that with his just as always, fantastic defense. Wow. $9 million is looking like a heck of a discount this year.
Yeah, they're running the sixth there on Stan's home run. Come back in the next inning, seventh inning. Bryce Harper takes yet another walk to start the inning against Luis Avalon. One out later, Jose Lobaton takes another walk. Two men on. Danny Espinosa grounds out. Dan Uglas steps up before he hit the home run. He hit a two-run triple right here. Bryce Harper, Lobaton score, 11-9 at that point. Reed Johnson comes up, ground rule double to knock Ugla in, 11-10. And if you didn't believe before then, that's what I started to believe, as I noted in our post game, that this was actually possible. Unfortunately, Reed Johnson pulled something that looked like on that swing, ends up leaving the game. He might be out for a little while. It looked, in my amateur doctor opinion here, like something with an oblique or something like that, the way he reacted to his swing. But a big hit by Reed Johnson there as a night of parade of unlikely heroes. He joins it right there with a ground rule double that made it 11-10.
Yeah, that probably wasn't helped at all by Simmons dropping a knee on him like it was a professional wrestling match. But
nope.
Yeah, the second triple in 2 days for Dan Uglas. How about that speed game? You go, man. Keep care around those bases.
Unlikely heroes. Night continues after that. Made it 11-10 on Reed Johnson's ground rule double. Braves added run in the bottom of the inning, but then we cut to the ninth again. Dan Uglas comes up. Jason Grilli out there for the save. They go ahead on Uglas' home run. And then Natstown collectively holds its breath as Drew Storen takes the mound. This is the kind of night where you never know what's going to happen in there. When he gives up a one-out walk to A.J. Pierzynski, you really start wondering. But Drew Storen finishes it out, ground ball from Carrasco. For first out, Johnny Gomes hits a pretty hard hit liner to left for the last out, and Nats starts celebrating. After that, Drew Storen comes on and locks down the save after Uglas put them ahead 13-12.
Well, locks down is probably overstating it a little bit, but that was certainly less nerve-wracking than a lot of Storen's appearances that we've had so far this season. You know, he went out and got it done. He gave up some contact. Some of it was hard, but it was not far. So, you know, I can imagine maybe one or two things dropping in, but maybe him getting out of it with one or two more base runners, but no runs coming across. But I guess our threshold for being rattled and unnerved by a closer outing has been raised high enough that this one barely even registered. I was never worried.
Not for a minute, no. Nationals somehow come back and win this one, break their six-game losing streak, 13-12 overall on the night. I don't know if it's a more important development, but my biggest development of the day is that Max Scherzer and I can be friends again. Some off-field action before the game. He was getting a little bit of a guff on the internet for saying that they should have a universal DH going forward with all the pitchers getting hurt, himself included. Adam Wainwright this week clarified his comments. Apparently he caused enough of a storm that he felt the need to take Twitter today and put out a statement saying he was misquoted or at least misrepresented in an article by John Heyman, clears up the confusion about his role, his opinion of the DH and the NL, and more important than anything else, we can all start liking Max Scherzer again when he says you don't need the DH and the NL.
Well, of course you don't, because the DH is an abomination. And wait, you mean a player was misquoted and the press somehow misrepresented what they said in a way to make it appear controversial and get hits? I am shocked. Shocked that this would happen on my internet.
Well, I will no comment that part of it on this day for the SB Nation, but just going back to the start, after A.J. Cole's rough start, the big question I was getting on Twitter, Tanner Roark ends up coming in when they probably didn't want to have to use him for that long, but Tanner Roark, a lot of people feeling he's sort of been, I don't know if you want to say disrespected, but with Max Scherzer signing, pushing him into the pen, he's not stretched out, which is why I think they didn't go with him as a starter tonight. They brought up someone who has been starting in the minors, keep Roark on the schedule he has been and the amount of pitches he has been throwing out of the pen, but after A.J. Cole's start, there were a lot of people wondering about Tanner Roark not getting the nod tonight.
Well, you look at what Roark did after Cole got knocked out. I mean, he gave up a couple of runs, didn't he? So,
yep.
You know, this game would have been, what, like 13-4 if he'd started? And maybe Rafael Martin would have had to go in there. So, yeah, I see why Williams did what he did. You know, it makes perfect sense.
Yep. They don't get what they want from Cole, but they somehow come back and get the win on a Dan Uggla three-run blast in the ninth. I said in my post, you got to believe, and if Dan Uggla can come through, you never know what's going to happen in baseball. Nats 13-12 over the Braves, six-game losing streak snapped. They have a rubber match with Atlanta tomorrow night in Turner Field. See if the Nats can make it two in a row. A win streak at this point would be very nice after a week of bad baseball by the Nats and six consecutive losses. Dan Uggla comes through tonight. Nats Nightly, sponsored by the district sports page and federalbaseball.com. I can't remember a more entertaining night of baseball in a while. Ugly baseball all around, but what a satisfying conclusion. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Doghouse.
Ugly baseball, but fun baseball. Go Nats.
Gotta love it.